What's up, guys? Welcome to Kind of Funny Games Daily for this beautiful Wednesday, February 7th, 2018. You know what that means? It's Widow Wednesday.
Widow Wednesday? What a Wednesday.
Oh, what a Wednesday.
What a Wednesday.
This is gonna be a Wednesday indeed. I'm Tim Geddes. This is The Rogue One. Gary Widow.
I was just saying to Greg last week how much I've enjoyed hosting with you on the days that you filled in for Greg. And
it's been fun. And here we are again.
It's like cosmic ordering.
Here we are. I wished...
You willed it into existence. I willed it, and the universe gave me what I wanted.
Greg Miller is out in Dallas doing some secret stuff right now. He will return tomorrow with Andrew Renee, but until then, you're stuck with me, and you're lucky to have him. This is Kind of Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday, right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We get together to talk about all the biggest video game news of the day, and then you can watch it on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames whenever you want to after it goes up as a VOD, or you can listen to it on podcast services around the globe. Thank you very much for going on iTunes or Stitcher or Podtrack or whatever it is that you listen to us and liking us and reviewing us and rating us. It helps a lot in a lot of ways. So thank you for doing all of that stuff. We want you to be part of the show. You can go to kindoffunny.com/KFGD to write in your questions, to ask for help with squatting up or any of that stuff. And while we're doing the show, if we get anything wrong, you can go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and let us know what we got wrong. And we'll read that at the end of this show. To correct ourselves and, you know, try to make the podcast a better place for humanity.
Got to correct yourself before you wreck yourself.
It's what they say, and that's what they'll always say. Let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We got five stories today.
A baker's dozen!
A lot of fighting game stuff going on.
Big day in the fighting game community.
I'm going to start off with this Turtles in Injustice thing. This comes from Kotaku. We already knew that the Ninja Turtles were going to be in Injustice 2.
Right.
But today we got the trailer. We got, you know, some more dates and more information. We understood what their fighting style looks like. And it's pretty interesting. You can go check out the trailer. It's on the internet.
I know that, like you said, he had been announced that the Turtles were coming. Mm-hmm. Is this the first time, though, that that what they look like in the game had been revealed?
In the reveal trailer that they had, it was like a CG cutscene type thing. So we saw them, we saw their look, and it kind of hinted that you might be playing them as a team instead of individually.
Right.
This is the first time we've seen actual gameplay of what it looks like.
Got it.
And we got a description here. This comes from Kotaku. By far the oddest addition to the Injustice 2 roster, all four Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles will soon join the superpowered fights, leaping in and out of battle to support one another as Ninja Brothers do. Players will select which turtle they want to play using Injustice 2's gear system, equipping one of four weapons, bow staff, sai, katana, or nunchucks, swaps between Donatello, Raphael, Leonardo, and Michelangelo, each with their own unique movesets. In tournament and online modes where specific loadouts aren't available, players can select each turtle individually. While players will control one brother, the others are integrated into special moves, so they're never truly alone. Leo, Mikey, Raph, and Don join the Injustice 2 lineup on February 13th. That's Valentine's Day Eve. For Fighter Pack 3 or Ultimate Edition owners, and as a standalone DLC purchase on February 20th. That is 6 days after Valentine's Day.
So some potential Valentine's Day grief. Mm-hmm. There for anyone who might be in a relationship but is also very excited about these turtles.
Yeah. There's and I imagine a lot of
some choices are going to have to be
it's
made.
Be
some
hard
choices.
It's going to be real hard. Did you play Injustice 2, Gary?
So I have it.
You need to play it.
So, yes. Trust me. I know. We talked many times before on the show about my backlog of shame. Mm-hmm. It's there. I'm not a big fighting game guy, as will become more and more apparent as we talk more about fighting games today. But I do know that Injustice 2, it was considered. I heard a lot of people saying that why wasn't Injustice 2 in more Game of the Year conversations? Because it's really, really good. And maybe there's some bias against fighting games. They tend to get overlooked more outside of, you know, specific categories. Mm-hmm. But I was told that this is it has a great story, which it wouldn't think of for a fighting game necessarily. And it's relatively noob friendly, which again is very much my cup of tea. So for both of those reasons, I've been wanting to play Injustice, so I just haven't got to it yet. I think it will once I get done with Persona, sometime in the next 10 years, I will be moving on to Injustice 2.
Injustice 2 was I came to it really late in 2017. I played that during our little winter break, and I totally fell in love with it. And then I've talked about a lot on Gamescast, but the story mode, I thought, did such a good job of not having that pressure of not knowing which character to choose.
Right.
Where the storyline kind of like ushers you through a bunch of different characters, and it tells a really cool narrative while also making the gameplay feel relevant to what you're doing. And I enjoyed that a lot. And, you know, seeing all the DLC characters they've been adding is interesting. But of course, to me, the Ninja Turtles is such a great reason to get back into it. I love the Ninja Turtles. I don't know anyone that doesn't love the Ninja Turtles. Kevin, you love the Ninja Turtles? Hell yeah, he does. That was just a noise.
Do you think that, given that story is a big part of the Injustice games, is there some narrative context for why the Turtles are now getting in the mix?
You know, I don't know for sure. If I'm wrong, let me know at kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. I am going to assume that the most story we get from it is what we saw in the cinematic trailer they released, where there isn't really a reason. There's people fighting in an alley, and they came to
Who needs a reason? Protect them.
Who needs a reason?
The Turtles show up. You don't ask, why are you here?
Yeah.
You're just glad they're here.
Which, by the way, this isn't the first time that the DC Universe and Ninja Turtles have combined forces and story. Have you read the recent Batman Ninja Turtles crossover comic?
No, I didn't. I didn't even know there was one.
Yeah, it was 6 issues long, and there's actually a sequel series that I think is coming out now, currently, another 6 issues, and it is fantastic.
Was it adversarial? Was it Batman versus the Turtles?
It's what you'd imagine, right?
I do not know where my allegiance would lie.
It starts that way, and then they end up teaming up, and then it's bad guys versus bad guys, and it's a good time for everyone.
Is it revealed that, like, all the Turtles' mother is named Martha or something?
there's not the Martha moment. Oh, that would be bad. That would be real bad. But no, it's actually an excellent comic series, and I remember when I first started reading it, it was just more like, oh, this is an odd thing. We'll see how this goes. It's probably going to be kind of corny and generic. And while, you know, some of the plot points are a little trite, it was a lot of fun.
I wonder if that in any way laid the groundwork for this. Yeah, or is it totally separate?
You know, there's been
a very specific matchup, isn't it? Turtles into DC.
Yeah, and I think it has a lot to do with Warner Brothers making the game and just like the partnerships they've had in the past, and when it falls with the Turtles. I'm trying to think of who owns them right now. I guess it'd be
Paramount
Nickelodeon.
They're currently making the live action movies.
Paramount, Nickelodeon, so that makes sense.
But they may just have the movie option. I don't know who owns the underlying Turtles.
I think it's Nickelodeon.
Okay.
Which is owned by Paramount.
Yeah. Viacom.
And I don't know where that
megalithic corporation falls down. Everything.
But then, because there's always been rumors of Rocksteady potentially making a Ninja Turtle game in the style of Batman Arkham Asylum. Which, oh, come on. Are you kidding me? That would be the coolest thing ever. But I think until then, we'll just be getting these kind of like teases and hints.
It remains to be seen how it's implemented in the game. Again, you know, based on the past track record of Injustice, I'm sure it would be great. But like, this is one of those rare moments in video game news where like everything's so polarizing these days, right? You can't do anything without someone showing up and telling you why that in fact sucks or is problematic or there's a problem with it in some way. But when they announced the Turtles were coming to this game, people were uniting like, who's going to not like that?
Everyone
was down with that.
Absolutely. Kevin, can you pull that up again?
What's he got there? Who owns the Turtles?
Owns the rights to the Turtles? The Mirage Group, who owned the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and brought us the all CGI TMNT, has sold the entire global property rights.
Sold it to Nickelodeon for $60 million.
That's a sweet deal. Yeah, I'm sure they've made that back easy with with the movies and the merchandising.
And everything.
Yeah, and they had a hit show. The CG show, most recent one, was actually really good and very well received. The new cartoon coming out, I mean, you know, it's the knee-jerk reaction. Everyone hates it. But have you seen the stills of this? Rise of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh, there's a third movie coming?
No. It's the new show that they're launching.
Animated show?
It's 2D animated on Nickelodeon, and they're trying to switch things up and like give the characters different personalities. So Leonardo's not the leader. Like, he's the cool one. And we'll see how that goes. And yeah, there's the picture there. People aren't thrilled about it. But this is all we've seen so far.
I mean, it actually looks kind of like a weird Persona kind of anime take on it. I'm not sure what to make of that.
The Mighty Ducks? Three Duck Brothers.
Huey, Louie, and Dewey?
Oh, DuckTales. Yes. Yeah. Anyway, people are really upset about that. But moving from negative to positive, how's your Persona experience going?
I'm loving it. I mean, you know, look, let's not have this. I don't want to hijack the whole thing and turn this into a Persona podcast, which I could so easily do. But I'm loving it. Again, it came up in a lot of the Game of the Year conversations. And I remember a lot of people freaking out over the last couple of years about Persona 4 on the Vita, which I never played. I never really understood what a Persona game was. I was aware that it was like one of these weird kind of Japanese high school drama relationship kind of games. I know that that's a thing, that there's a whole genre of those kind of games. So I never, maybe not for me, but then I managed to scrounge a code for it and I thought, I'll give it a try. Like, I should at least know what it's all about. And it just got its, I don't know if you've played it, but like it got its claws into me. Man, that's a fun game.
How deep are you into it?
Like 30 hours, wow. Which is not much
barely
at all.
Barely scratching the surface.
No, that's what I'm saying. I'm like, I feel like I'm barely out of the tutorial. The game is, it's almost overwhelming just how much there is. It's just so much stuff. But I'm loving it. I love the combat. I love the storytelling. I love the whole vibe, the aesthetic. I love the fact that it is occasionally just like batshit crazy. Like, what is even going on right now? It's so insane.
I love Japan, man.
Oh my God. Only in Japan. But I'm really, 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 really enjoying it. And it's one of those games that I already know that, again, 70 or 80 hours down the line when I'm done, I'll be sad because I really enjoyed all the time I'm spending in that world. You know how when a game gets its claws into you so much that even when you're not playing it, you're thinking about it, and when you're going to get to play it next.
You're just like, oh, I can't wait to go home and play
this game.
That's
when you're in deep.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at right now.
Persona 5, man. Gotcha.
Yeah.
I love it. So moving on from the Ninja Turtles Injustice story, we got another big fighting game story. The EVO 2018 lineup has been announced. This comes from EVO's Twitter. This year's EVO World Finals will get underway from August 3rd to 5th in Las Vegas at Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino. EVO has announced which games have made the cut. Tekken 7. Super Smash Bros. 4, it's the Wii U one. Street Fighter V Arcade Edition. BlazBlue, someone let me know. Cross Tag Battle, that's a new one that's not even out yet. Guilty Gear XRD Revision 2. Okay, guys, come on. What's XRD? Crossword? They don't even decide what number it is.
I think they deliberately now make the names of these games so obnoxious.
Yeah.
It's almost like a shibboleth to kind of like sort people like us out from people that fighting
this
games.
This is our thing.
If you can't even pronounce the name of the game, you're probably not a true believer.
Yeah, and then there's the Injustice 2.
Injustice 2. Yeah, you don't like it.
Yeah.
Super Smash Bros. Melee.
Smash Bros. Melee still in the game after like 15 years seeing two Smash Bros.
Which one
Bros.
Is Melee?
Melee's the GameCube
so
one.
So that's all time classic.
That's the most loved. That's the classic. Right. That's the one that...
That's considered like the granddaddy of them all.
Granddaddy of them all, especially in the fighting game community. And that's kind of shifted over the last couple years to the Wii U version, where there is a very split fan base between who, like, the people that have moved on from Melee to the Wii U, the people that just stayed back in Melee, or there's a lot of people that have still do both, still compete.
Well,
it
says
spheres.
A lot about the appeal of it, that even though there's another more recent, like the current one, the Wii U one is still the current one because we don't have a Switch version yet, even though that's on the roster, they still make a slot for the older version of the game.
And people love watching Melee, even like 15 years down the line. Like, that's definitely one of their headliners every year, and people get really stoked about seeing the finals for that. So that makes a lot of sense to me. And then Dragon Ball FighterZ, the just released game. So we got three.
So it's not Dragon Ball FighterZ? Is it FighterZ?
I think it's FighterZ. I think it's Dragon Ball.
I'm going to say FighterZ.
Because we've gotten shit. Greg's gotten shit before for saying that. So I think it's Dragon Ball FighterZ. We tried playing that game yesterday.
That's relatively new, right? That just came out.
It just came out like a week ago.
Again, not my kind of game, but I saw a trailer. And it looked
fantastic.
Great. Like, there were some of the special moves and the combos. Yeah. It kind of goes into like a cinematic mode where it almost feels like you're watching the anime.
And I mean, I feel like it's kind of an old school thing to be like when you're playing a sports game, being like, it looks like a real basketball game. Or like the point where we're so impressed with graphics that like, that looks like a Pixar movie. And it's crazy that seeing the modern Ratchet and Clank, especially in HDR and stuff, you're like, holy crap, this really does look like a Pixar movie.
Yeah.
And seeing Dragon Ball FighterZ, it really just looks like Dragon Ball Z.
Playing the anime show. Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely incredible.
Yeah, it looked really good. No, again, not my kind of game at all, but it just looks, I know the Dragon Ball universe, I know and care nothing about it, but I was like, I kind of want to play that game.
Well, what's
just
cool,
just because the cinematic nature of
the battles. Me too, is I missed out on Dragon Ball just because I didn't have Cartoon Network and that was like the only way to get it over here. But I obviously understand why people like it and that there is a huge fan base for it. But what I think is really incredible is it's not only just the Dragon Ball Z fans that are latching onto this game. It's not just the fighting game community latching onto this game. It's the people that are like, this just looks really cool and it's so polished that I want to give it a shot.
It looks great.
A lot of the Giant Bomb guys are not Dragon Ball people at all, and like some of them aren't even fighting game guys, but I saw a lot of them being like, hey, I'm really into this game. Like, what's going on? And like, Dan Riker posted a picture of a bunch of Blu-rays that he bought of Dragon Ball Z. He's like, I'm in. So it's transitioning
fans. It makes me wish for that kind of approach. Again, where those combos, like, you know, the camera shifts around and it almost looks like it's still gameplay. It's not going into a cutscene, but it's just showing you the action in a way that looks like it's directed like one. It makes me wish that they could take that approach and put it in something that I do care about. Like, bring back fucking like Masters of Terrace Cassie, right? But do it like this, where like the battles.
Unfortunately, Shadow of the Colossus remake. Yep, that makes a lot of sense. Crash Bandicoot remake. I guess there's an audience for it. Star Wars Masters of Terrace Cassie on
just the because the original
1.
Game sucked doesn't mean that you couldn't do one now that is good.
Well, here's the thing. I feel like at some point we're gonna get a Star Wars fighting game.
Yeah,
like sooner than later,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
In terms of if it'll be a like a 2D fighting game in the style. Dragon Ball, I don't think it'd be that. It'd probably be more of like a 3D type fighting game, but like a Tekken, I would say. But right. Yeah, man, oh, we need that. But with the maybe some like old levels from it, just some maybe some characters, just as like a throwback. God, I was so excited when I first saw that game at Blockbuster and rented it, and I tried to convince myself it was good. Like 6 year old, 7 year old me, I'm like,
you couldn't do
this
it.
This is not good.
You couldn't do it. So wow. There's some controversy this year, right? Because there's something missing.
There is something missing. Marvel versus Capcom. This is the first year ever that Evo hasn't had Marvel versus Capcom.
And how long has Evo been going?
Oh,
putting you on the spot.
Someone let us know.
A long time, right?
I want to say 8 years. But I could be totally
I was
going to
say, like, feels like it's been going for like 10 years or so.
Thank you. Help me. I want you to tell me that you're wrong here. But yeah, no. And what's weird is Marvel vs. Capcom and
Evo
goes hand in hand.
Right.
Marvel vs. Capcom 2 specifically. Like, even as somebody that isn't necessarily a fighting game fan, I like them. I enjoy them, right? And there's something about the fighting game community that is so appealing. And seeing people play on a pro level is so fun because, you know, when people talk about esports and, you know, watching people play video games, it's hard to wrap your head around that for a lot of people because it's like, wait, why would I watch them when I could just play them? But it hits a point where they're just so much better. Like, they've mastered the game. So when you watch it, when you watch people play pro level MOBA games like League of Legends or Dota, if you don't know what's going on, you're lost. Yeah, you have no idea.
Absolutely.
If you're watching pro level first person shooter, like whether it's Halo or Counter-Strike or whatever, you can still follow the action, but some things move so quickly that you can get kind of caught up because when it's an 8-on-8 team match.
I read a piece recently about, you know, they have the Overwatch League now, but one of the problems that they have with it is that at the pro level, the game is played at such a speed that as a spectator who doesn't necessarily know what's going on, it's very hard to follow.
Mm. Yeah.
So that is a problem. But again, with a fighting game, the language of it is, even though you might not understand the finesse and the combos,
yeah,
you understand what's going on.
Exactly. So it looks here, I was totally off. It's been going on since 1996.
Wow.
Actually so called Evo in 2002. So it is the 2017 will be the 19th official Evo.
Well, it's 2018 now, so... So it would be the 20th. Yeah.
So the 20th one is coming up. Wow, that is insane. But yeah, what I was saying is like what you were just going on there is there's something about watching fighting games that even if you don't understand all the specials and combos and systems going on, you can look at a health bar and understand who's winning. It's pretty simple to just look at the screen, and even if there's the chaos of Marvel's Capcom happening, you can still understand.
When one guy hits the ground and doesn't get up, you understand.
You get it. There's the KO. There's like kind of just a language that even people that don't play video games, like my girlfriend could watch Evo and understand what's happening,
right?
You know, and I think that goes a long way in especially when the commentators are so good and the fighting game community has such great kind of reverence for making sure that a lot of the people that talk about the game actually play the game and do know it and are very good at explaining on a deeper level to people like us that are just enjoying watching it what's actually happening and why the things going on are important. But it's crazy to see.
So there was a Marvel versus Capcom game.
Yeah.
Every single... I didn't even know there was a Marvel vs. Capcom game 20 years ago. There must have been.
Well, MVC 1 came out in... Shit. Look it up, Kev. I want to say 90...
So here's the first one. 1996.
And yeah, obviously Street Fighter 2 is another one that goes way, way back.
Right. So these are all different variations on Street Fighter. But
to me, Evo, with just my knowledge of it, Street Fighter 2, Marvel vs. Capcom 2, and Smash Bros. Melee are the like
those
backbone.
Are considered like
and the, those the, are the things the central pillars. That I think made it mainstream. Those are the things that a lot of people tune in for on IGN. That like when because I remember when we would cover Evo every year at IGN, like I got to see the views of things coming through, and the finals for those games were always the ones that even just kind of casual site visitors would still watch.
So it looks like here, 1996, you can go all the way back to Marvel versus Street Fighter.
Yeah, well, that was different, though. It was Marvel versus Capcom.
And then Marvel versus Capcom in 98.
Where's MVC 2?
On PlayStation. In the year 2000. On the first PlayStation, that was the first one.
MVC 2 was the real big competitive
one. So why not this year? Have they said why?
So Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite is what would have been.
That's the current generation.
That's the one that just came out last year.
Okay.
And it had a lot of issues. It launched really content light, very similar to when Street Fighter V came out. And the graphics were kind of like not up to par. They tried fixing it a little bit. It still didn't totally go there. And even though people really enjoyed the gameplay, there was just a lot of missteps with it. We have a writer, Jack Walkey, who wrote in and says, "Sup dudes, I'll keep this short. Evo 2018 announced its lineup of games, and there I wonder what your thoughts are on the exclusion of Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite. This is the first Evo with no Marvel game. I know that you guys are not the biggest fans or followers of the fighting game community, so you may not have the super strong opinions either way, but I figured I'd bring it up. A lot of talk online is trying to cast blame on Capcom for shipping a game out to dry, or on Marvel for forcing out characters from the MVC series and having heavy influence on an MCU art style. Also interesting, BlazBlue, pronounced BlazBlue.
It is BlazBlue. There you go.
Cross tag battle will be at Evo and the game isn't even released. Keep up the good work, friends." So that is interesting. Two interesting points. Yeah. The Marvel thing. So that's another bit that people were really upset about with Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite. Part of that game's legacy is how deep the roster went with kind of obscure characters, and specifically MVC 2 coming out in the year 2000, kind of capitalizing on a lot of the more popular X-Men like Gambit and, you know, characters like Venom at the time that were really hot in the 90s. We've kind of moved on to MVC 3 and the now MVC Infinite, a lot of that was shed. And when you look at the roster of this, it's a very Marvel Cinematic Universe roster. No X-Men. Wolverine's not in it.
What?
Yeah, Black Widow is DLC coming out. And it's like, that seems interesting. Like, out of all the Marvel characters with fighting styles, like, no Wolverine.
How can you not have Wolverine in a Marvel fighting game?
Because there's a lot of decisions being made in trying to promote movies and trying to promote an aesthetic against gameplay styles. And so a lot of people have a role to
I guess,
that.
But if you look at like Lego Marvel Superheroes, that clearly has an MCU aesthetic, but that doesn't mean you can't, they still have all the characters.
Yeah, and I mean, what's crazy is we've seen this not just in video games, but in comic books as well, where the X-Men's kind of a unique thing because they still do have a lot of great ongoing series, but like Fantastic Four was just completely done, ran out of existence essentially because Marvel realizes like, why would they promote these characters that they're not making the movies for?
Right.
That they're not owning it outright, and now things are obviously going to change.
What? What is going on?
Yeah, I do think that a lot of that goes into why Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite isn't at Evo, but I also just think it's a sign of like there is a lot of other games, and we see a lot of the I always get this wrong, Arc System Works, I think it is, games coming to light here with BlazBlue Cross Tag Battle, Guilty Gear, Xrd Rev 2, and Dragon Ball FighterZ. Like, there is this great kind of upbringing, so it's not just the Capcom fighting games versus the first Tekken, essentially, and Smash Bros. So it's cool stuff. Let us know what you're excited to see at Evo 2018. And I'm sorry if real actual fighting game fans found this very hard to listen to.
Like rolling their eyes.
Yeah,
constantly.
These guys don't know anything.
All this noob talk. But I'm going to try watching a bit of E because it's all on Twitch and
it's
YouTube,
all on
right?
Twitch, and it's awesome. Everybody that I've ever talked to that has been there is like, it's the best thing to go to. It's the best gaming event to be at because it's just a huge party. It's super fun and it's just very positive environment and everyone is just there to have a good time.
Do you have anyone on the kind of funny crew who is like the resident fighting game
none
expert?
No, definitely not expert. I think me and Andy are probably the closest people that like just enjoy playing the games. Andy is deeper into actually watching stuff. Like Andy watches Evo. Yeah, so I just tune into like Smash Bros. Finals and stuff. So I'm very, very, very casual with
okay.
it. But yeah.
Where's Mortal Kombat these days as a franchise?
Well, so Mortal Kombat 10 came out a couple years ago.
Yeah,
and that
I remember
was
that one.
By NetherRealm, the same people that made Injustice 2.
Right.
So they're kind of doing a switch off between Mortal Kombat Injustice, Mortal Kombat, at least it seems.
Yeah.
So we're due for a new Mortal Kombat. Definitely. Next news story. This comes from Press Start. Metroid Prime 4 and Ridge Racer rumors.
Yeah!
Why? Those together, that's a weird thing. Earlier today, a YouTuber posted a video claiming that they'd come across a LinkedIn profile of a Namco Bandai Singapore developer that had listed the fact that they were working on an unannounced game that was labeled as a first-person shooter slash adventure exclusive to the Nintendo Switch, as well as Ridge Racer 8 as a Switch exclusive. Now, the first-person shooter slash adventure could not be Metroid, but rumors have been swirling since his announcement from well-known Nintendo insiders that Prime 4 is being developed by Bandai Namco. At this point, if it's not, it's going to be utterly shocking because there's been so many rumors pointing that way. Also, there's never really been a game that people have described as a first-person shooter adventure in that way that isn't Metroid, except for things like BioShock, and even that's not going to be exclusive to the Nintendo Switch. While the profile of the dev was not posted in the video, I've tracked it down and can confirm that it's a legitimate profile with 20 years experience across a number of reputable publishers. The LinkedIn profile went on to say, in terms of things that they've done, concept design, created many design concepts in order to meet Nintendo's exacting requirements, VIP presentation, regularly presented pitches, storyboards, design directives, and gameplay to both Nintendo headquarters and Bandai Namco Entertainment Group. I did some further digging across Namco Bandai Singapore employees, and it's interesting to note that quite a lot of them have come over from Lucasfilm after the cancellation of Star Wars 1313. It's also worth noting that quite a lot of them use wording like working on a well-known unannounced IP or an exciting unannounced IP in their experience.
Is Ridge Racer something? I mean, I get Metroid. Is Ridge Racer something people still care about?
Awesome. So to talk about Ridge Racer before we go into the Metroid stuff, it's funny because a lot of people associate the game with PlayStation platforms.
Yeah, I still remember that terrible PlayStation 3 launch. And Ridge Racer! Yeah, right?
Oh my God.
And that turned into a joke.
That's right, man.
That was
a meme. Always be remembered for that E3. Yeah. But yeah, people associated with it because of that. But really, and a lot of people are like, oh, there's no way they'll make Ridge Racer exclusive on Switch. Ridge Racer in the past couple of years has oddly been exclusive on different systems. There's been an exclusive one on DS, an exclusive one on Xbox. Like, so this wouldn't be unprecedented.
It's just kind of like a free agent franchise that just floats around.
It just kind of goes around in weird exclusive ways. Like, I feel like that's kind of unique. Like, most other games don't do that. Ridge Racer 8, it's been a while since we got a Ridge Racer game. I love them, personally. They've had some duds for sure, especially in recent years. I loved the one on PSP. I played the hell out of it. There's something about it. I can't get into the simulation racer games. It's just too much for me. The Gran Turismos.
What is it about? I mean, what's in the world of all the various different driving and racing game franchises you've got out there? Mm-hmm. What is Ridge Racer's thing?
Because
drifting is the thing. Okay.
It's drifting in a way that is so dumbed down that
I love it when it's easy to drift.
It makes you feel like a badass.
Right.
Like, badass. Essentially, Ridge Racer is Mario Kart, but instead of, you know, cartoony graphics and stuff, it looks a bit more real. But the car functions in the same way.
Was it meant to be like an Initial D kind of thing? Is that what they were going for?
It predates Initial D, but it is that type of vibe. It's very Japanese, and it's very like techno music playing.
Right.
A lot of just like highway colors going by, you going through tunnels and all that. It's a lot of fun. It's kind of like a shut your brain off and go.
Who doesn't like drifting?
That's
in video
the thing.
Games?
Drifting's awesome, man. And it really makes you feel like you're in a Fast and Furious movie, and it makes you feel like you're in control of what you're doing. Even though really your car's sideways more than it is going straight. And there's something really fascinating about that. You play a lot of Ridge Racer, Kev?
Yep. On the PSP.
PSP, man. That's great. Would you be excited about playing it on Switch?
Extremely.
What was the last version?
Check it out, Kev.
What was the last time Ridge Racer was out there?
Ridge Racer 7, right?
Was it PS3?
Thanks, Kev. Yeah. I actually think it was Ridge Racer 7 on PS3. But fact check that for me, please.
Well, the drifting is cool. I mean, I like that. If I'm being honest, if Nintendo's going to bring something back, I'd honestly rather they bring back F-Zero.
Well, so this wouldn't be that Nintendo bringing it back. This is Bandai just releasing a game on Switch.
Right. So when I'm thinking about like driving games on the Switch, my mind goes to on Nintendo platforms. Yeah. I go to F-Zero, and I got to say, you're going to hate me for this, but you know what else I'd like to see him bring back?
Diddy Kong Racing? The VW racing game on the N64?
Cruisin' USA.
Cruisin' USA. Oh my God, I don't hate you for that
because,
at all.
Because look, it sucked, right?
That's...
But you know what I need more of in my driving game? I need more shit like OutRun. Like just driving down the coast with the wind in your hair.
I'm with you, changing the radio station.
Magical sound shower.
Oh my God, I love that you know the name of the song. I love it. Oh my God, it's so hype. It's so, I'm getting chills. Oh, I can feel it.
See, don't you want that now?
We do need, we need more OutRun.
Like that.
We got to save this conversation for a little later because it's going to fit in better there. But remind me about Cruisin' USA.
All right, we'll be back.
What's the news, Kev, on Ridge Racer?
Looks like 2006 PlayStation 3 launch game.
Yep, that makes sense.
Okay.
Ridge Racer Unbound 2012.
Oh,
Ridge Racer Unbound?
On PlayStation
3.
Oh, I didn't know.
But I've never heard of it.
Me neither.
Okay.
Yeah, it looks like it's a thing.
I know that this is the show that we like do really professionally.
Yeah?
No.
I looked at the schedule for today, and we don't have a lot of time, so what do you guys want from Chipotle?
Oh, normal stuff.
No,
I like that. Just give me, surprise me. Let's have fun. Give me a burrito.
Okay.
Yeah.
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 Do you want Chipotle?
Are you going to get me something from Chipotle?
I am.
Okay.
What do you like?
Can I have, do they have enchiladas?
No.
Do they have
burritos and burrito bowls and tacos?
I'll have some tacos.
Okay. What kind?
They
have steak. They have chicken. They have barbacoa. They have.
What's barbacoa again? I'll try that. I'll have some barbacoa tacos.
Give me a barbacoa burrito.
Okay.
Living on the edge today.
How do you feel about salsa?
I like it. Hotter the better.
Hot. Okay. Sour cream cheese. Guac.
Surprise me.
Yeah, all of it. Okay. Load it up. That's fantastic. Thank you.
Metroid Prime 4, though, at this point, I'm pretty sure it will be Bandai Namco working with, or Namco Bandai, whatever they are nowadays, working with Nintendo to make the game. And what excites me about this... Well, there's two things. Before I get to what excites me, what interests me is it sounds like this is a newer team, this Namco Bandai Singapore, that they haven't, as a team, made many games. And that sounds like something to worry about when you're talking about Metroid Prime, which should be a huge game. But you think back to it, Retro Studios, a new studio when they first made Metroid Prime 1. So give Nintendo the benefit of the doubt there. What excites me, though, is that a lot of the team comes over from Lucasfilm after the cancellation of Star Wars 1313. And everything we've seen about that game, although not that
1313 was canceled forever ago.
Yeah. And everything about it, though, sounded awesome. And it sounded story-driven. And it sounded like it had a really cool narrative design and, you know, a single-player aspect and space. Guess what? That all sounds like stuff I want in a Metroid game.
Yeah.
So that's exciting stuff. We'll see where it all shakes out, but we'll see. At some point, I mean, I imagine at E3, we'll hear about Metroid, and we'll get the confirmation that Bandai Namco is working on it. The next news story comes from the PlayStation blog, new features coming to PS4 and System Software Update 5.5. The beta for the PS4 system's next major system software update, 5.5, codenamed Kaiji, rolls out today. If you signed up and were selected for the beta program, you'll receive an email with instructions on how to download and get started. A new feature is called Playtime Management. We're introducing Playtime Management, which will allow family managers and adult family members who are set as guardians to manage PS4 playtime for child's family members on your family on PSN. Managing playtime is easy. You go to Settings, Family Management on PS4, or log into your PlayStation account on your web browser from your PC or smartphone to check and manage your child's playtime each day. If needed, the family manager and guardians can apply playtime restrictions to make sure that the child is only playing for a set amount of time or within set playable hours. Notifications on PS4 will be sent to the child during gameplay so that he or she knows when they should save and quit. The family managers and guardians also have the option to add extra game time via their smartphone or PC. In addition, they can choose whether or not to automatically log the child out of their PS4 once their playtime is over.
As a parent, let me just say, this is a very welcome feature. And to the extent that I'm actually amazed that it was not there earlier, even from the beginning, because it's such a needed and wanted thing. Parents love this, to be able to, you know, kind of help managing, you know, kids. Once it's hard to get kids away from video game systems. And the weird thing about it is, like, in the experience of me and my kid, you know, she's 5 and she loves to play on the Switch. Oftentimes when, you know, okay, I told you, playtime, you can play for an hour, but playtime's over now, time to give me the controller. No! And it's like a big fight to get her to quit. If I set the parental controls, which a Switch has had from the beginning, it'll say like 5 minutes left or time's up and the game will quit. And then she just accepts it. If the machine tells her, she's okay with it. The machine, the computer has more authority than the parent does.
Psychological thing. That makes
sense.
Also
because, you know, it's non-negotiable. The game just turns off. You just have to accept your fate.
I mean, it sounds like this is kind of that, but on a level that you get to control it. So it's still going to be the machine telling
her. The Switch does it as well. I get to set the times. I can say you can play this long or between these hours. And then once that's set, the machine does the rest. Got the app that tells me exactly how much he played and
what
stuff like that.
What a future we live in.
Xbox needs this too if it doesn't have it already. They all need to have this feature.
I love that you can do it from a smartphone though and you can add more time and take it away. Like, this feels very, very interesting to me. It sounds invasive, but I get it. I'm not a parent. But
if you've got young kids that are difficult to, you know, corral when video game time is over, and all kids are like that. They don't give the controller up easy.
Yeah.
Having that framework is very, very much welcomed. Mm. So I like that. Good feature.
Yes. Next thing, library user interface updates. Two new tabs are being added to library to make it easier for you to see which apps you've installed and purchased. The This PS4 tab lists all the applications that are installed on the PS4, and the tab with your name and avatar lists all the apps that you've purchased with your PSN ID, and a new PS Plus tab to the library, which clarifies what games you own from PS Plus's monthly free games. So that's cool. Just more organization shit. You can now hide apps from your purchase tab. Background music is added to PS Now, so you can listen to music while streaming. You can import custom wallpapers via USB. You can customize the tournament team page. And a real important one here, super sampling mode on PS4 Pro. PS4 Pro users will see a new super sampling mode under settings, which enables those with HDTVs, i.e. 1080p or less, to enjoy an enhanced visual experience when playing some PS4 games. With super sampling mode, games that render to a higher resolution when connected to a 4K TV will downscale to match the HDTV, allowing PS4 Pro owners to leverage the benefits of image clarity boost, even if they don't own a 4K TV. Certain games already have super sampling benefits as part of their PS4 Pro enhanced feature set, but this new mode can enhance the experience for those games that don't already have the feature. Because PS4 Pro's added power and modes benefit different games in different ways, please note that certain games' image clarity may not improve with this new feature. This is great. I didn't understand that it wasn't already a thing. I thought this was standard, but the more PS4 Pro enhancements they make, the better. And I think especially when it's for people that don't have a 4K TV, like when it is just for a 1080.
Yeah, I didn't know. I have a regular non-pro PlayStation, but I noticed that some PlayStation games with a 4K TV will still support HDR.
Yep. HDR is still on the PS4 normal.
Right. I didn't know that. So that was cool. And it went into, booted up a game on my regular PlayStation and it went into HDR. I was like, oh shit, I didn't know it does HDR. Yeah. That's a nice
Xbox
surprise.
One S does HDR as well.
And this is nice that they've added this. I just didn't know. It's a weird, I want to see that Venn diagram. People that have a PS4 Pro, but not the 4K TV. You'd think you would want one before you get the other. Yeah, he's a weirdo. He has a 4K TV, doesn't he?
Mm-mm.
But he has a PS4 Pro.
Mm-hmm.
That's so weird because you're not getting what would be considered the main benefit.
Well, now you're getting super sampling.
Yeah. So it's nice.
Daniel writes in and says, I have some thoughts about the latest PlayStation update. Only one thought, actually. I'm not smart enough for more. The main thing that caught my attention was the playtime management. I don't know why, but I get very upset when games don't have playtime counters. As PlayStation has sold it, this will be for parents to be able to monitor and control how long kids have been playing for. But I'm really hoping this will also allow us to track our playtime, similar to Steam.
Yeah.
Am I alone in feeling bummed when there's no playtime counter? Or does no one really care, like trophies? I would say about as many people care as trophies. I know, I like knowing how long my playtime is, especially when I'm playing through single player games like Uncharted. Like, I like knowing how many hours I put in because I kind of have an idea of how much more I have left. And that's always nice. And it does kind of suck when it's not a readily available option.
I always like to know. And again, the Switch has, once you download the parental app for the Switch, it sends you a monthly update. It gives you a little notification. You go into the app and it tells you exactly how many hours you've played on each of the games over the course of that month. Hmm. I don't think it gives you an overall total, which again would be nice.
Well, the Switch playtime thing, not the parental controls, but just like your activity in playtime is interesting because like the way that it does it is like by 5 hour chunks. Like it'll be like played less than 5 hours. And once you get over that, it's like played 10 hours. Then you have to wait till 15. Then it's like played over 15.
I like that. I like that.
Weird like that.
I like that Steam does it. Every single game in your Steam library, it'll tell you exactly how many hours you've got in.
Yeah.
It actually was. This feature was actually a reason. Part of the reason why I eventually quit World of Warcraft back in the day. You could type slash played. And it will tell you exactly how many days, hours, minutes, months. It was so many, and I did kind of a quick computation. I thought about just how much work and stuff I could have created, or you know other things I could have done in that time. And it was like I gotta stop playing this game. When you realize just how much of a time sink, how much time has been lost to that game. It can sometimes be a wake up call as well. The amount of hours played timer.
Yeah,
you go, oh shit, that's crazy, too much time wasted in my life.
Next news story. The last news story comes from IGN. There's a Tomb Raider arcade game coming. It looks like there'll be a new Tomb Raider game sooner than thought, although it's not the next AAA installment from Square Enix you're all hoping for. The film is getting a promotional tie-in with an arcade game that will appear at select locations of U.S. restaurant chain Dave & Buster's. Arcade Heroes reports that the new title will be a gun game in the style of Rabbids Hollywood. The cabinet is the same with the artwork, marquee, and pistols changed to fit with the new game. Pictures of the cabinet were snapped and posted on Reddit. Like Rabbids Hollywood, there appears to be 3 levels, and the logo is very much in keeping with that of the first rebooted title of 2013. The film's slated for a March 16 release, so if you head over to your local D&B over the coming weeks, you should be able to give the first ever Tomb Raider arcade game a whirl. Being based on the Rabbids Hollywood, it's a 4-player light gun game, which is not common. Usually it's like there's just 2 players for those type of things, but it's a pretty big ass screen. 4 players can play, and like the Rabbid one, you're shooting them all. Tomb Raider, you can imagine. It's a little bit more realistic looking. I say we go there and do a party mode, Kev.
Fuck yeah!
4 of us playing at once. That could be a lot of fun. But whatever. The reason I wanted to bring this up was to talk about arcade games. And there you go. Cruising USA.
I see. Okay.
Fantastic arcade game. And a fun fact you might not know, Mr. Gary Whitta.
What is that?
There is another cruising game out right now. They came out last year called Cruising Blast.
Well, I remember Cruising World. Which came after Cruisin' USA,
and then Cruisin' World, and then Cruisin' Exotica.
Oh, shit.
All three of those were in the arcades.
I didn't know about any of this.
Oh, they were fantastic.
And there's a new one?
They all have equal theme songs. Remember the Cruisin'. That's it. Everyone has that. But there's a new one now, arcade exclusive, Cruisin' Blast.
Okay.
And they have it in Dave & Buster's.
Is it any good?
It's as good as the other ones were. I don't know if that answers your question. No. So no, but it exists. And I have hope that one day we'll see it on the Switch because that'd be a lot of fun.
I miss arcades just in general. I miss going to the arcade.
There's a Dave & Buster's right there.
I know, because that's not what I think of when I think of an arcade. I know they opened a Dave & Buster's. Have you been to this new Dave & Buster's? I need to go to it.
It's a trip, man.
It's not the same feeling as like going to the old arcades that we used to go to.
It's not.
We could get lost in those caverns of machines.
You can get lost in this. It's a big space and there's a lot of games.
Okay.
However, you're right. It's not the same because most of it is just mobile games, but big. And it's like literally, it just looks like a phone upright.
I can't enjoy my video games where there's someone next to me like eating a prawn cocktail or whatever. Yeah. Like it's too fancy.
Yeah. No.
All the arcades I went to when I was a kid.
Yeah, it ain't that fancy.
The arcades I went to when I was a kid, the real flea pits. And I kind of like that grungy, shitty, like all the arcade machines had like cigarette burns on them.
They're
just all fucked up and gross. That's an arcade.
You should go. It's kind of, grungy. It's really grungy.
Can I go there and just play the games? Yeah. I don't need to order some shit off the menu or whatever?
The restaurant and the arcade are in separate parts.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's a distinction. And
I got to go.
The arcade bit is kind of a mess and everything's all meshed together, but there very much is a carnival style side of it that's the more like basketball shooting things.
Yeah, I don't like that. Like ski ball
and that type of stuff, but then also a lot of the mobile game bullshit like Flappy Bird or like and any mobile game you've heard of, there's probably an arcade version of it. But then there's also a lot of pure arcade games. There's Dance Dance Revolution.
Right.
There's this isn't a pure arcade game, but Mario Kart GP is there and you know all the fighting games and stuff. And it's cool. It's a fun thing to check out.
I mean, I guess this is the other reason why arcades aren't that exciting. It was like there aren't like the days of like really hot new games being in the arcade. Like back in the day, that was like if you wanted to play like the coolest games and have the coolest experience, you went to the arcade.
Mm-hmm.
You don't do that anymore.
No.
It's interesting that this Tomb Raider thing is a gun game because that seems to be like what they mostly are now.
Yeah.
I don't see a lot of the arcade games that come out. When you go to like the multiplex or whatever, there's that little nook where they mm-hmm. have a bunch of arcade games, Starcade, and an air hockey table kind of stuck in there.
Yeah.
That's when you see like what the latest things are, because they usually have that.
Well, I think what happened is, you know,
and they're all gun games.
In the well, I think what happened was in the 90s, right? There was the Naomi board that was what then turned into the Dreamcast, and I feel like after the Dreamcast and on, systems have just been ahead of arcades.
Yes.
And the only thing that arcades kept people coming back is back in the day, it was Street Fighter 2, and yeah. it was like this social
experience. Once we closed the gap between what you could play at home and what you could play in the arcade, that's when the arcade started to die off.
I think it switched off to then they had one last final hurrah that was peripherals. It was the novelty of standing well, that was on the thing. A skateboard. It's like, well,
the graphics are as good at home now, but you ain't got this big ass yep. cabinet at home.
And that was
this gyroscopic thing that's flinging you around.
Like VR, Time yeah. Crisis guns.
Yeah, big guns.
Guitar games, like yeah. Dance Dance Revolution, stuff like that.
Like a racing chair that you actually sit in. Exactly. You know, all that kind
the
of stuff.
Star Wars Episode 1 racer where you actually sit in the pod racer.
Yeah.
Like those things are great, but then we started seeing the peripherals come home. We started seeing Guitar Hero, right? Like Guitar Hero really was the final nail in the coffin for arcades, I think.
Well, sure, but you still can't get something like the experience of playing like Star Wars Battle Pod at yeah. home. You're not going to get that.
Well, you can with PlayStation VR, right?
I guess.
Like that's the thing is like even there's no matter what,
there is less and less a reason to go to mm-hmm. the arcade, and that's why arcade like pure dedicated arcades are mostly
novelty.
Dead, and we now have things like Dave and Buster's.
Yeah.
Instead, would you go to Dave and Buster's like for a meal? Would you go there to eat?
We did. And man,
who am I talking to?
It was
I
a bad known call. It was a bad, good. Very bad call. Nick got food poisoning. And
seriously?
I think, yeah, here's the thing. He did not get food poisoning. Nick ate there, came here, and threw up everywhere. So that happened. That is a fact. But I think it was in Nick's head.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I want to go.
We should go.
Let's do a group trip because
I'm totally down.
I got really excited when I found out they were opening at Dave and Buster's. It's been open for a while. I've not been. I need a group of like-minded individuals to go with.
We're totally.
Let's do it. Let's set it up.
Put it on the books.
Yeah, I want to go to Dave and Buster's. I haven't been in one for a long time.
Kev, I'm going to need you to make a note of this, all right? We're going to switch into the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday. But this segment is actually brought to you by Pro Flowers and Sherry's Berries. You know who I love? Gia Harris. You know what she loves? Flowers. You know what I love? Berries. I don't know why Greg wrote this like this. He's such a weirdo. But the point is, Gary, Pro Flowers, Sherry's Berries, they're combining forces to make your Valentine's Day and your loved one's Valentine's Days way, way, way better. Go ahead and think inside the box this Valentine's Day. This really is a one-of-a-kind gift. Your flowers and dipped strawberries will arrive together in a beautiful, specially designed box that'll keep your flowers fresh and your berries cold, guaranteed. Right now, my listeners can save 20% on any one of their perfectly paired combinations or any other gift over $29 with the promo code KF. Andrea loves these so much that she guilted Greg into getting more. Have you seen the fridge?
No.
Filled with berries.
Filled with chocolate-covered
berries?
So many
chocolate-covered berries. Take them home. Have as many as you want. They are fantastic.
You know who actually might love those? My kid. My kid loves strawberries, and she loves chocolate.
Well, there you go.
Strawberries.
Sherry's berries sound like they're for her.
All right.
Hurry and order today. Valentine's Day is next week. There's only one way to get 20% off a perfectly paired gift over $29, featuring beautiful blooms from Pro Flowers and freshly dipped strawberries. So you get the berries and the flowers. What a perfectly paired deal. Visit proflowers.com and enter code KF at checkout. That's proflowers.com, code KF. All right, out today. Little Triangle on Xbox One.
Don't know what that is.
No idea. Pinstripe on Xbox One.
Don't know what that is.
Me neither. Die on Xbox
One. Don't know what that is.
Bleed 2.
Don't know what that
is. Don't know what that is. And the Dark Side Detective on Switch.
Didn't know what Bleed 1 was.
We don't even know what we're talking about here, man.
I mean, aren't we getting paid for this? Aren't we supposed to know
what these games are? This should be our job to know these things, man. I don't know
what any of these games are.
Let us know if they're important. That's embarrassing. Let us know if anyone cares. New dates. Owlboy is coming physically to Switch and PlayStation 4 on May 29th. Digitally, it's coming out like tomorrow, but it is coming out physically on May 29th, and that's a very exciting thing. Hello Kitty Cruisers. Cruisers spelt with a K.
We were just saying how much Switch needs a new racing game,
and here it is. It's coming to Switch. Now, what's interesting about this game is the box art looks horrible, but also, so it's coming to Switch April 30th. The Wii U version is very rare. And it's not rare because the game is good.
They are still making Wii U versions of games.
Are they?
Well...
No, this is old. This is an old
thing. Oh, so there was an existing... It was on the Wii U.
This is the Wii U port no one asked for.
So there are no... At this point, no one's making Wii U games anymore. Was like Zelda the last one?
Because
that was on Wii U as well.
Yeah, Wii U...
I wonder if that was the last thing.
Must have been the last thing. But the Wii U version of this game is rare because people like to collect... Like there's people out there that want to have every Wii U game.
You gotta have the collection, yeah.
And like because of like how bad it was and just where it's at, it goes for upwards of like $130.
Wow.
To get a copy of this damn game. But now you can get it on Switch. So there's that.
Okay.
What else we got? The Surge 2 is happening and aiming for release on PC and console sometime in 2019. Deck 13, the game's developers, is touting the sequel's expanded world and limb targeting system.
I always say, if you don't have a good limb targeting system, why fucking good is your game? Yeah.
Yeah. God, just give me another cruise in USA. You know? Deals of the day. There's a Seagate expansion 4 terabyte portable external hard drive, one of the USB 3 variety, on Amazon for $85. That's a damn good deal. I've
four terabytes for $85.
Four terabytes.
That's insane.
In a portable. Portable right. version. So it's as big as the phone. The little tiny, tiny ones that are self-powered. Well, not self-powered, but USB powered. So you don't need the plug and all that.
So this is something you can plug into your PlayStation or Xbox for
your PlayStation,
storage?
Your Xbox, your computer, anything really with the USB port, but it'll work on all those things. I love this. I swear by these. They're my favorite hard drives. And this is by far the cheapest I've ever seen this. Even Black Friday wasn't this cheap for that. So if you're in
crazy.
You know, if you're looking for some hard drives, boom, Amazon.com. Now let's get to reader mail. We've been real long on this one, right, Kev?
Yeah.
I don't know because I don't have the stopwatch, but...
Well, we're at 50 minutes.
It's 50?
51 minutes.
Oh, that's not long at all. Okay. For some reason, I thought it was over an hour already. Yep. Let's get into this then. LT says, given the speculation on Retro Studios' next project, what do you think of the possibility of a new entry in the Duck Hunt series? What direction could it take, and how could it bring something new and exciting to the Nintendo Switch?
Is Duck Hunt a series? Are we talking about NES Duck Hunt here? Duck Hunt?
I guess you're right. I don't know if we'd consider it a series. I mean, it is.
Another one?
It's an IP. So that's the thing. Retro Studios is not working on Duck Hunt. I can guarantee that. What direction could it take if they did try to bring Duck Hunt back? I don't know. That'd be interesting. I feel like if they were going to do it, it would have been during the Wii era because of the motion controls and with the zapper. And we saw a lot of like kind of tech demos showing off the Wii when it first came out. Like remember when the Wii was first revealed and like before we even saw what the gameplay looked like, we just saw the side of the people with on the couches with the remotes doing a bunch of things.
Yeah.
Like there was a scene of people like going like this shooting. And then you heard the dog laughing and stuff. So there was teases, but it never came to fruition as a new Duck Hunt game. There was a mini game in Wii Play. I want to say,
okay.
Remember this Wii Sports?
Wii Play.
Wii Play was the one that they were really, really pushing with,
Wii Motion Plus.
Was that
Wii Sports Resort?
No, it just came with another Wiimote. Wii Motion Plus was for Wii.
Came in with Resort.
Wii Resort, but it was in one of those games, and it was just kind of like a Duck Hunt-inspired game, but it wasn't Duck Hunt. And I feel like if they were going to go back to Duck Hunt, it would have been then. However, we got Duck Hunt as a character in Smash Bros., and that was always a joke, but they actually did it in Smash Bros. Wii U, so...
And he was good.
And he was pretty cool, him and his little duck friend.
But so, how would this even work?
I don't know. I mean, the Joy-Cons do have motion controls.
Right, but then you have to buy some other plastic shit that nobody wants anymore.
Turn it on its side. Labo. Yeah, Nintendo Labo. Maybe Nintendo Labo.
Oh, yeah. Okay. No, you can build your own.
Yeah,
build your zapper. Build your own rifle.
Well, all right. So we have the NES Classic, and that's a hit, right?
Yeah.
That was the SNES Classic.
Yeah.
Zapper Classic. Let's bring it out. There's a nostalgia there. That gun is, there was Hogan's Alley, good games. Yeah, I don't know. There wasn't many, Kev.
There was what was the Wild West one?
I don't know.
There was one where there was like a shooting, like you were in like.
Was that Hogan's Alley? I don't even know what Hogan's Alley is. I just know that.
No, I don't think that's right.
Well, hey, I'd be super hyped if they announced Duck Hunt 2, but alas, I don't think that that's a possibility. At least not a likelihood. Let's see.
I don't know. Hogan's Alley is different.
Yeah, Hogan's Alley is more of like a urban, like a crime thing, right? Like gangsters.
Yeah, that's what I remember.
Yeah,
gangster shit.
But I feel like that there was a Wild West one as well.
Joshua writes in, and it's not so much a question, but he says, I recently ordered two kind of funny shirts online and I received them yesterday. I'm very picky about shirts and I appreciate that they're so soft. So thanks. They are pretty soft. Our team moved over to a new type of shirt for a lot of their things and it is really soft and nice. I like them. You can check it out, kindoffunny.com/store. And then one more question. I'm just going to go there, Gary. And I know you're not going to be able to say anything.
What is
it? But I'm going to ask you anyways, all right? The Flame King says, hey, Gary, I enjoyed hearing your perspective on how you directed portions of Telltale's Walking Dead Season 1. And I was wondering, now that the series is finally coming to a close, what are the chances you'll be lending a hand in the story for Season 4?
Well, let's be clear, I didn't direct anything on Season 1.
Yeah, you wrote it, right?
Story consultant and wrote one of the five episodes. I am I am and have worked on Season 4.
Oh shit. Didn't expect you to say that.
That's been announced.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, it was announced a while back.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, damn.
I'm not writing one of the episodes this time, but I was in the room with the team that kind of broke the story for what Season 4 is going to be.
Awesome.
So when you play Season 4 at some point, my name will pop up in the credits.
When that happens, Deflame King, I expect you to take a picture of it and tweet it out. Be like, hey.
There you go.
You heard it here, not first, second, third, maybe probably 100th, maybe 1,000. I don't know. Probably everyone knows at this point. Let's move on to Squad Up. Arno, 1218, says, I'm wanting some people to come stroke with me in everybody's golf. Sick son of a bitch. Not one of my current friends has it or even wants to think about getting it, so I need people to work on my stroke game. His PSN name is ARNAUD1218. It's pronounced Arno, but there's a lot of other letters in there. Now it's time for You're Wrong, so I need to pull that up. Give me one second.
Kind of sad. He can't find anyone to play golf with him. I feel bad for the guy.
Everybody's golf is not for everybody.
I guess not. If it were, he'd have no trouble finding people to play with.
Okay.
Can't he just find randos to play with?
Kebabs.
K-Babs, he's back again.
K-Babs back again with
Regular
contributor. We appreciate it a lot. You pronounce the Guilty Gear XRD game as Zerd.
Zerd?
Zerd.
Guilty Gear. We should have known that.
I know, I fucked up. Blaze Blue is pronounced as Blaze Blue. I'm never going to get that right. And Dragon Ball Fighters is Fighters, like it's in the 90s. So not Fighter Z, it's Fighters.
Oh, because it was because they capitalized the Z. That's what threw me off. And so all these fighting games are deliberately named to throw you
crazy
off.
Crazy shit. Yeah, it's... Don't even get me started about Final Fantasy or Dissidia Final Fantasy Prologus or whatever the hell it was on PSP.
It's meant to weed out people that don't. It's like, this is the German 3.
It's very smart.
Yeah.
And he says, also, all three are Arc System Works games. They seem to have a habit for this. Yeah, I was saying that earlier. I, for some reason, not only don't know how to say any of their game names, I always forget what their name is. Arc System Works. I need to get better about that. I always say Arc Softworks. It feels right to me.
You guys need, kind of funny, is a good old-fashioned fighting game tournament, like, in-house. You should do one.
we did a video once of us doing a tournament of Tekken 7, and that didn't... Kevin did win, yeah. The only fighting game that we're at all competent in is Smash Brothers.
Okay.
Yeah. Otherwise, it's just Nick spamming Hadoukens in Street Fighter.
Yeah.
And Kevin just making a lot of noises.
I took part in a giant bomb Mortal Kombat tournament a few years ago that I think Jeff Gerstmann ended up winning. He's good. But it was really a lot of fun. And we did it like it was all done in the style of all of the kayfabe was baked into it. There was a lot of bullshit posturing going off, behind the scenes.
I love it.
A lot of kind Just of
bring it in.
Yeah, yeah. And then we would come in and actually play. It was fun. You should do something like that.
Yeah, I'm in. We should do it for the Kinda Funny World Championship. Marco Hutchins says, doesn't seem to be a new storyline with Ninja Turtles and Injustice.
They just show
new
up.
Characters to play as.
Yeah, again, I don't need a story. Like again, if the turtles show up, don't question it. Just go with it.
So we're getting some conflicting information here.
Uh-oh.
Because Xanther Sarah says you pronounce XRD as Exard.
Exard?
The other guy, or my boy Kebabs
Zerd,
says Zerd. And this says Exard.
Well, now I don't know what to think.
How did he spell Zerd? How is it pronounced
Zerd? XRD?
Yeah, but how did he like do it phonetically?
EX-ARD is how he said it. The other guy said Z-E-R-D.
Right, right. That's how I would do it, yeah.
Those are different things. Holy shit. Moving on.
I'm just getting more and more confused.
Yeah, I know.
The more information I get, the more confused I am.
K-Bob says, Gary alluded to the Lego Marvel superheroes having X-Men characters. While this is true for the 2013 original, last year's sequel does not have any. Using
Lego
an MCU
Marvel
based
Superheroes
roster.
2 does not have any X-Men characters?
That's what K-Bob's saying.
I haven't played deep enough into it to know.
You know who it does feature? Us.
I know it has you guys
We're
in it.
We're in there. I'm a frog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's weird the way that the Marvel... one thing I liked about the last Marvel Superheroes game is that all the bullshit licensing stuff that splits the characters apart like in films and television and stuff didn't apply in the games. Like, so you could actually have all those characters crossing over in whatever combination you wanted.
But now it's coming in there. Messing
Don't
up your
like
life.
It. Don't like this stratification of the universe.
Capitalist Pig says, regarding Ridge Racer exclusivity, the most recent Ridge Racer, Ridge Racer Unbounded in 2012, was found on both the Xbox 360 and PS3. Unbound was more in the line of Burnout than a traditional Ridge Racer, so it's debatable if this could be considered a core game. Ridge Racer 7 was PS3 only, while Ridge Racer 6 was only on 360. So yeah, that fits in with what I was saying earlier.
Okay.
Klosp says, not so much you're wrong, but a caveat you should add. Evo has the habit of announcing one last game at a later date. Oh. So Marvel's Capcom will likely still be there.
Interesting.
He reaffirms that it's pronounced X-ard.
See, this is what's keeping me away from finding... If I can't even... If I don't even know how to pronounce the game, how am I going to play it?
I don't know, man. The community's split between Fighters and FighterZ.
No wonder there's such discord in the online fighting game community. They can't even agree on how to say the names of the games.
What? I don't.
There's got to be
and
some
I think
definitive
with them, they,
judgment.
I feel like they wouldn't even know.
The line must be drawn
somewhere.
Maybe when we watch Evo this year, like the announcers have to call it something, right? I would just presumably that would be the way to say it.
I'm going through this, and there's just a lot of people debating on what,
what the title,
yeah,
what
how to say things. I said that I think that Owlboy comes out tomorrow on Switch. Offhandedly, that's wrong. Owlboy comes out next week on the 13th.
Okay.
Capitalist Pig says,
all over again.
Regarding Wii U releases, the Wii U has had releases as recent as February 2018 for minor titles. The last major title was Just Dance 2018 in October.
Okay. Because I remember the PlayStation 2? That had such a massive install base that they were still putting out games for that years
Forever.
After it was done.
Did they ever stop?
I don't know.
I don't think they have. It slowed down for sure.
It just sounds like a crazy thing to even ask, but I don't even know. I mean, again, there were so many machines. Are they still making PlayStation 2 games? I can't believe they are. Not at this point.
Yeah, I don't know.
But like
Brazil, man, they buy those things up.
But like the FIFA ports and stuff like that, they were going. I remember they were still doing PlayStation 2, you know, long after the system was considered obsolete, because there were just so many still in people's living rooms and bedrooms and what have you. Bathrooms. I mean, why
they're
not?
Everywhere.
Why
they're
not?
Everywhere.
They're everywhere.
Capitalist Pig says the NES Zapper West game, Wild West, was called Wild Gunman.
Okay.
The arcade cabinet of this was featured in Back to the Future 2.
Yeah, that's why I'm thinking about it. You got to play with your hands. It's like a baby's toy.
Game.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking.
Shinizi says Duck Hunt was released on the virtual console for Wii U that was played using a Wiimote and meant to be played with a Zapper attachment. Interesting.
You know what they should bring back? Rob.
No. See? No. No, I don't
no,
know.
It was terrible, wasn't it?
It was. It was real
it
bad.
It was really bad.
Yeah. He was the bad guy in Super Smash Brothers Brawl.
I didn't... I never...
And then he came the good guy because that's how that happens.
I always knew it was a gimmick, but I remember watching a video I think it was like Angry Video Game Nerd or whatever did an episode on it one time where I actually saw what it meant to play with the ROB. And it was terrible.
Yeah.
Like how, like it was so bad it made me wonder. So there was only two games, right? Gyromite and what was the other one? Stack Up.
Yes.
The only two games. And they were just unbearably slow to play. Like, it makes you wonder. Like, how
cool idea, though.
How does something like that get through QA? Like, it's that bad.
Yeah. I mean, Short Circuit was hot. You know, NES was hot. They're just like.
Is that what it was? They were trying to cash in on the Short Circuit Johnny Five
craze. Yeah.
Yeah. Because he does look a bit like Johnny Five, right?
He does. Yeah. Yeah. It's great. They're like cousins. Distant cousins at most. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily. Thank you for joining us. Let us know in the comments if you thought this episode was fun, because I sure did. When you're done listening to this, please go over to YouTube and search for Magical Sound Shower if you're not familiar. Yeah.
Get that out on playlist.
You're going to have a damn good time, because it is a very fun song. I'm going to listen to that on my drive home today.
Oh, perfect driving music.
It's perfect driving music.
If you're driving down the one and you got the ocean off to your side there and the wind's blowing through, pop the top.
You know what?
Play some Magical Sound Shower. You're all good.
I live like 3 blocks from the ocean, so I don't need to do this. But today, I'm going to drive down there and I'm going to drive down the highway just to listen to it. You know what I mean? I might even make a video. You might even see it on Instagram.com/Tim Gettys, or I might not do it. But hey, follow me there to see if I do.
I want to say, I feel like you have to do it. It's going to be fun.
Until next time, I love you.